Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everyone to Help for HD Blog Talk Radio. This is your substitute radio DJ for the day, BJ View. Melissa's unable to join us this evening, so I was honored when she asked me to run the show for the day. And I really want to just take a second and tip my cap to Melissa, who has done an amazing job, not only with the radio show, but with all her efforts in the HD community. She's one of those people that we would call a true HD warrior. And I think this radio show has a ton of potential to be a central hub for great information on HD on a weekly basis. Melissa's working hard. I'm scheduling guests for the upcoming months, and if there's anything you guys would like to hear or any guests you might recommend, please shoot Melissa an email, and she can help get everything set up. Also, I'd like to remind everyone that these shows can all be heard on the website. If you can't get them live, they're all there for you to check out. Last week, we had Mike Brown on the air, who's talking about clinical and observational trials. A lot of great information, so I would encourage you all to check them out. And also, if anyone's interested in calling in today and asking any questions, we do welcome call-ins. You can either call our guest toll-free number at 877-497-4103 or 310-982-4227. And I definitely want to encourage anyone to call in with any questions because we have a very special guest with us today. Dr. Robert Pacifici is the Chief Scientific Officer of CHDI. And Dr. Pacifici is here to talk a little bit more about this mysterious CHDI Foundation for anyone who may not know about them in the HD community. And for those of you who don't know, CHDI stands for Cure Huntington's Disease Initiative. So these guys are on our side when it comes to the HD community. Dr. Pacifici, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and thank you so much for the invitation to participate in the radio show and for the opportunity to connect with the HD community.
Hey, not a problem. It's great to have you on. It's going to be a great show, and thanks for taking the time out of your busy day to help us out. But why don't you first off kind of introduce yourself, a little background on who you are, where you came from, and how you found CHDI.
Sure, it'd be my pleasure. Well, I'm a biochemist by training. I did both my undergraduate and graduate degrees in biochemistry. I always knew ever since I was a kid that I wanted to do science, and more specifically that I wanted to do science to help with drug discovery. I personally benefited from drug discovery when I was a kid and thought, what a great opportunity to do something that could help so many people. As soon as I got done with my training, I joined Amgen up in Thousand Oaks, which is the world's largest biotech company, and spent over a decade there doing a variety of different jobs, from bench science all the way through their informatics group. I then went to a small biotech company called Xencor, which did rational protein optimization, and then spent 3 years as the site head for Eli Lilly and Company down at their facilities in Research Triangle Park in North Carolina. When I left Lilly, I had the great opportunity to join up with CHDI. It seemed to me to be an ideal setting for my aspirations. It's a foundation, as you know, that is exclusively dedicated to doing drug discovery for Huntington's disease, and is soup to nuts all the way from basic exploratory discovery research all the way through facilitating entry and execution of clinical trials. And so I joined CHDI about 6 years ago as the Chief Scientific Officer.
Wow. That's quite a background you got right there. Tell us a little bit more about how CHDI was formed and maybe a little bit more about who you guys are today, where are you located, how many people do you have, and what's the mission behind CHDI?
Sure. So as you indicated earlier, I think the original concept for CHDI, or the Cure Huntington's Disease Initiative, was an idea that several prominent people in the field, including Nancy Wexler, had as a division that should be focused specifically on the drug discovery aspects. So CHDI Foundation was formed. And as I said, it's kind of a unique construct in the sense that we fancy ourselves to be like other biotech companies. with some very important differences. The first is that we're a not-for-profit. So we're motivated by time, not money. We don't have any competitors. We only have collaborators. Our role is to be enablers and executors so that a cure or a treatment for Huntington moves forward as quickly as possible. We're foundation funded, and so we're very fortunate to have private donors that afford us very generous resources. And so we're really driven by the ability to push programs forward, not by hype or press releases or some of the things that unfortunately smaller biotech companies have to deal with. And as I said earlier, we're exclusively dedicated to Huntington's disease. We're really have this laser-like focus and a continuity of purpose that allows us to focus on this one horrible unmet medical need. We've grown quite a bit over the 6 years that I'm here. We are using what people call the virtual model, and all that means is that CHDI doesn't have its own wet labs, so we rely on an extensive network of collaborators around the world. There are 50 people or so who work within the four walls of the foundation across three sites, one here in Los Angeles, which is where I am, our site in Princeton, New Jersey, and a site in Manhattan in New York. And so collectively, although there are 50 people who are at CHDI, we form a web, a network of investigators across not only the whole globe, but across all the different sectors, academia, the private sector, biopharmaceuticals, and we probably have some total of about 500-plus investigators that are hard at work on the different aspects of finding treatments for HD.
And of the 50 people who work at CHDI, because you guys don't have any wet labs, and maybe you can explain a little bit about a wet lab is, what are the 50 people who work for CHDI, are they working with the wet labs to help with research? Are they overseeing it? Are they managing it? What are they doing on a daily basis?
Sure. So just by way of explanation, what I mean by wet labs is sort of what you're used to seeing on the evening news with somebody actually picking up a pipetter and transferring fluids and actually running the experimentation. So CHDI doesn't have any of their own labs at the three sites that I've indicated, but obviously doing that work is incredibly important. So the scientists here within the foundation represent all of the different core competencies that are necessary to carry out drug discovery, and it's a remarkably large number of different disciplines that are brought to bear: medicinal chemistry, quantitative biology, in vivo biology, all kinds of computation and medical sciences. So it really does take a pretty impressive array of different types of individuals. And what the folks at the foundation are responsible for is a variety of aspects of making sure that the experimentation that's going on the outside world is, first of all, enabled. Do people have the right reagents? Do they have the right experimental plan and operating procedures? Do they also have the resources? One of the things that CHDI does is obviously provide the funding for a lot of the work. And what we're also involved with is in thinking up and devising the various hypotheses that will be tested and also interpreting the data as they're generated. So the nature of the interaction that we have with the outside world really depends on who it is that we're collaborating with. We obviously are very fortunate to have a very talented and very committed academic base of investigators who are passionately committed to providing us with the very best targets, the very best tools, and some of the very best ideas as to how we can develop candidate treatments for HD. We also have a very talented and very committed group of what are called contract research organizations. These are fee-for-service shops that we hire as our hands and our eyes and our brains at the bench to be able to help carry out the experimentation. And we also have very fruitful collaborative partnerships with existing biotech companies and big pharmaceutical companies. So in the case of the biotechs, what we look for are folks that are out there that have a great idea, a great technology. Maybe they already have a compound that we think might be applicable to HD. And so CHDI figures out, you know, what's missing from that equation so that we can lower their barrier to entry and get them interested in HD so that we've got the very best and the very brightest and the largest number of individuals helping us with this very difficult problem.
And you mentioned you guys are a not-for-profit, privately funded organization. Are you guys ever looking for more funds? If people raise money, can they donate to CHDI? Or where might you recommend the HD community put their money towards with fundraisers they have?
Right. Well, it's a great question. As you and your listeners probably know, drug discovery is an incredibly expensive and time-consuming endeavor. And more resources are always appreciated, but CHDI doesn't take, as a foundation, doesn't take donations from anyone other than our existing private donors. And so what I would encourage folks to do is, if they are interested in contributing, is to get in touch with HDSA, the Huntington Disease Society of America, either the national organization or their local chapter, because there's an awful lot that people can do in terms of donating their time and their money and their resources. And the thing, and I think we'll probably talk about this a little bit later, the one thing that CHDI values more than anything else from the community at large is your engagement and your involvement. Your participation as part of the observational trials, your willingness to tell us what's going on and to point us in the right direction. It's that kind of intimacy between our drug hunters and the subjects who will eventually hopefully benefit from the candidates that we come up with that's really unique to the HD community and really unique to CHDI as an organization.
And Mike Brown touched on a lot of this last week. Why don't you talk a little bit about why are these, we keep hearing these observational trials, clinical trials, why are they so important to you and groups like CHDI? Why are they so important for the HD community to get involved with observational or clinical trials?
Right. Well, you know, there's one quote that I always love to point to, and that is that there is nothing more precious to a scientist than an observation that's made in an actual patient that's suffering from the disease that they're trying to treat. So, you know, we do an awful lot of fancy stuff in terms of developing model systems. You know, these are worms and flies and zebrafish and mice and rats, and heck, we've even got a sheep now that has the mutated Huntington gene. And all of those things are very useful tools and each have their own unique value proposition in terms of what they enable in our drug discovery efforts. But at the end of the day, we don't lose sight of the fact that what we're trying to do is develop treatments for humans that are suffering. And so, therefore, the most poignant and the most impactful types of data that we can gather is data that we gather from people actually afflicted with Huntington's disease. And so, you know, some of that stuff, we know what we're looking for. We have very specific questions in mind, and, you know, we can go after answering those questions. In other cases, you know, this is a disease that is pretty complicated and pretty multifactorial. And so, you know, it behooves us to think as proactively as possible about having a large group of folks that we can track over time and really make sure that we understand the natural history of the disease. You know, it's not even out of the question that we might make an observation in terms of, you know, what's benefiting people that then we could treat into, that we could turn into an effective treatment. I'll give you an example. Certainly there's no question in anyone's mind that the families that were participants early days in the research efforts are what enabled the cloning of the gene itself. But, you know, on beyond that, we now know, thanks to an awful lot of hard work and an awful lot of science, that there is an inverse correlation between the number of CAG repeats and the age of onset for the disease. Now, that was a really useful observation, but we took it one step further and realized that it's not a perfect correlation. So there are some folks that have 40 CAGs that may start displaying, for example, motor symptoms at 25 years of age, and others that may not display motor symptoms until much later, say, for example, 45 years of age. Now, knowing that is incredibly useful for a drug hunter, because what that tells us is that there are modifiers, there must be modifiers, whether they're genetic modifiers, environmental modifiers, or other types of modifiers that are dramatically affecting, at least when that one particular aspect of the disease is showing up. And if we can figure out what that is, well, maybe we can find the lock that fits into that key, a drug that modulates that target, and turn it into a therapy. So we really, you know, value the contributions that patients and their families make, and we recognize that, gosh, this isn't easy. Oftentimes it requires driving long distances and, you know, participating in long tests and answering a bunch of questions, and I can only imagine how difficult even just the regular baseline routine is for families that are struggling with this horrible disease. But I can tell you, as one of the people that's on the receiving end of that data, those are things that are incredibly valuable to us and very much appreciated.
On the observational trial note, CHC, I had that press release about Enroll that went out last week. That's a combination of cohort and registry. Is that going to change anything, or is that something that the HD community should be aware of, or what are your quick thoughts on that?
Right. Well, you know, the Enroll study is something that we're really very excited about, and I think the community should be excited about in general. This is an attempt to link together a couple of very large observational studies in a way that hopefully will give us even more power, even more depth, and even more flexibility as we move forward and think about additional things that we'd like to do within these important cohorts of individuals. While we have great hopes for the promise of Enroll HD, this is something that's really just getting off the ground, and Bernard Landemeyer will be a very capable principal investigator for these endeavors. And it'll be very clear to subjects who are enrolled, to people who are caregivers and data collectors, exactly what's expected of them in terms of any changes. But for right now, we want to make sure that people understand that you should continue in whatever capacity you're involved. So if you're already signed up for a protocol and already participating at a particular study site, none of that will change for the time being, and you should absolutely continue on. And all the hard work and effort that you've put into whatever existing observational trial you may have been a part of, that will continue to roll up into Enroll and will continue to have been of benefit.
Do you have any recommendations on trials that people should consider entering?
Well, that's difficult because so many of the trials have their own unique entry and exclusion criteria. I think that's something that you really need to consult with your caregiver and your physician. In general, the observational trials are very accommodating, and in some cases, depending on which one, are even accepting of folks who don't yet know whether or not they're affected or just at risk. In fact, some of them will accommodate members of families at risk. So I think that's really a personal choice. I guess what I would say is, assuming you meet the eligibility criteria and feel like you can do it, I would absolutely encourage folks to enroll in everything that they're eligible for.
Very good, very good. You know, I feel like there's a lot of buzz lately about Huntington's in the news, which, especially research-wise, kind of the question that many people in the HD community might have is, what's the outlook for CHDI on research in the Huntington's community?
Right. Well, you know, I agree with your assessment. I think it's a very exciting time in the field. You know, I recognize that excitement is no substitute for actual treatments, but I think it's important for folks to know that you know, we've now assembled a team and an infrastructure and a set of projects and programs that are showing just an incredible degree of promise. And I think that you know, some of the things that maybe people have been reading about in the lay press are, you know, some of the things that are the most likely near term to yield the types of clinical candidates that I think everybody has been hoping for. And so when I look at our pipeline, you know, I try and make sure that we've got, on the one hand, a diversity of different approaches. You need a lot of shots on goal to make a successful drug. On the other hand, you don't want to be stretched too thin, and so you kind of have to place some bets. And one of the big bets that CHDI has placed is on Huntington itself. In other words, the product of the gene that is mutated and causes this disease. And so, you know, because we know that there's 100% penetrance, in other words, everyone who carries the expanded allele of this gene will eventually get the disease, and that everybody that has Huntington's carries the expanded allele of this gene, that gives us a high degree of confidence that intervening at that particular gene product should have a beneficial effect. Now, the problem is that although we're pretty confident that that's a very fruitful intervention point, Huntington itself is this huge protein made up of a string of over 3,144 amino acids. And as best as scientists can tell, we still don't really understand the function that it provides or the function that it loses when it's mutated. And so it's difficult to just come up with a generic pill, a small molecule that sort of magically goes in and fixes what's wrong with Huntington. And instead, what we've had to do is be a little bit more creative about the types of therapies that we would consider. And so our longstanding collaboration with Isis Pharmaceuticals on what are called antisense oligonucleotides, and our recently announced collaboration with Alnylam and Medtronic on what are called siRNAs, are very exciting because even though those are not pills, traditional small molecule therapies, kind of what you would think about with aspirin or Advil, something that's small pill, orally bioavailable, these are novel types of therapeutic modalities that should be able to find their way into the cells that are affected by mutant Huntington and specifically lower the levels of Huntington protein and not touch any of the other proteins that are doing just fine in those cells. So those types of programs, you know, do represent a new set of challenges in terms of delivery and demonstrating the safety and being able to demonstrate the effect of those therapies, especially early days in the treatment, but are ones that hold, you know, tremendous promise and are things that are tracking on a very deliberate and very measured path to the clinic within the next 18 to 24 months.
Is there a place where we can go to read up on all this information? You could probably talk about all this research for hours and hours and hours. Is there a place online to read more about the latest and greatest HD research?
Right. So, you know, that's one thing that we've been struggling an awful lot with, you know, and we've probably erred on the side of doing rather than telling. So we need to improve in that regard. Now, I will say that, you know, major findings, be rest assured, those are things that will make their way into the community very rapidly, as evidenced by the recent press release from Alnylam Medtronic. As soon as we signed that deal, it was very easy to find it on all of the news feeds and all of the traditional HD searches. What we're going to do on a moving forward basis is figure out ways of getting the raw data, the information about our programs, out to the community in a way that's a little bit more timely and a little bit easier to find. We've recently hired a communications director, Simon Noble, who is working on our website, www.chdifoundation.org, as well as some related websites so that the data can get out to scientists, patients, caregivers, and anyone else that's interested in the state of the art in HD research. So we were recently very fortunate to convince the and fund and enable the Public Library of Science to have a Currents site that allows us to do very rapid publication of findings in a way that short-circuits the timeline that's necessary for traditional peer-reviewed scientific publication through the traditional journals, even the electronic ones. And so you'll see more and more of the information that CHDI is generating, finding a rapid way of dissemination through PLOS Currents. We also will start loading things up on our own website, especially as we deem them to be sort of non-confidential and ready for public disclosure and broad dissemination. So definitely check into the CHDI website, and there'll be pointers to these other websites as well.
And one of your researchers, I believe, has his own blog. Is that correct, where he talks about the research that he's doing?
That's absolutely right. So we're very fortunate not only in being able to recruit top talent scientifically, but in having been able to recruit people who are passionately committed to this cause. And I think Ignacio Munoz has done a great job of sort of exemplifying that ethic and takes his own personal time to blog about his efforts and his experiences here. And it's proven to be not only a great exercise for the community, he's gotten very positive feedback, but I think it's proven to be very rewarding for him as well. He does his best to update that on a regular basis, and it's called hdscienceblog.com.
That's very good. I've read it before, and it's always fun to read the researcher's side of view. And, you know, we got about 2 minutes left. Robert, do you have any last thoughts or comments that things you'd like the HD community to know about yourself, CHDI, or the future of HD research?
Well, I guess, you know, first and foremost, I'd like to thank you for this opportunity. You know, back to your question about what are we doing to communicate, I think venues like this are a great opportunity to do it. We also have our yearly Palm Springs conference where we gather together all the top translational scientists to discuss the latest findings, and we'll have reports from that meeting going out to the broader community as well. I know that for the folks out there that are waiting for treatments, it's never good enough and it's never fast enough until your loved one is benefiting from a treatment. You know, to the degree that I can convey a sense of hope that there is a phenomenally talented group of very committed individuals who are working tirelessly on this very difficult problem day in and day out. I hope you'll take comfort in knowing that everything that can be done, all the technologies, all the smarts, all of the efforts that can be trained on drug discovery for this unmet medical need are really being pulled together, and it represents a world-class effort, and we really appreciate everybody that contributes to this, from our donors that give us the resources, to our CHDI employees, to the patient community, the caregivers, the academic scientists, our collaborators, and all of the other voluntaries that play such an important role in forming this community. So we're really blessed to be a part of it, and very appreciative, and hope that you know, we'll continue to make good progress and continue on this very noble cause to treat this horrible unmet medical need.
Oh, that's great. Well, hey, thanks again. If you want, we got about 45 seconds. You can stay on the line for a second. But for everyone out there, thanks for tuning in. Remember, you can check this out online after tonight. It'll be on there if you go to blogtalkradio.com and search HD Support Group. And also, like I mentioned, if you have any ideas for upcoming shows, you can get Melissa's email off that website. And feel free to check out Nacho's blog at hdscienceblog.com. You can learn more about CHDI at highqfoundation.net?
Actually, chdifoundation.org.
CHDIFoundation.org. But if you don't do that, have a great night, everybody, and thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next Monday. That was easy enough. Thanks for joining on.
Very good. Thank you, BJ. Good job.
Hey, not a problem. You know, I definitely appreciate it. And one thing that sticks out in my mind, just, you know, having a group like CHDI come on is when I crossed paths with you when we were at the conference in September, and I was coming back to the hotel at a late night, and you were just leaving, and I go, where are you going? And you shout back, I'm going to find a cure. I got to get out of here. So I just thought that was pretty clever, and it just shows definitely your guys' commitment to the HD community. So on behalf of the HD community, you know, thanks for all your work, and thanks for everything that CHDI does.
You bet. Okay, take care, BJ.
Take care. We'll talk soon, Robert.
Bye now.
Bye.